I was honored when Gary called me and asked me if I could come and preach. I haven't known him long, but the time I have spent him has always been fun. He has a way of making you joyful even when you don't want to be. So let's pray. Father, you are good. There is no one like you, Father. You are merciful and just. You are righteous and loving, Lord. We just thank you for who you are and what you have done for us, Lord. I ask now that you will prepare our hearts and minds for what you have to say, that you will remove any distractions, anything keeping us from you, Father. Lord, I lift up my words and ask that you will speak through me, that these will not be my words alone, but your words, Father. I ask this all in your great and mighty name. Amen. Who are you? It's a question that's being asked all the time right now, right? You hear people say, oh, I need to go find myself. I need to figure out who I am, what I'm doing. And we find our identity in different things, right? I was listening to the radio one time. I was listening to a program called The Splendid Table. If you don't know what that is, it's about food. And they talk about usually a specific type of food. And we'll give you a story. And I was listening one time about this young man from Texas. And he described his family as meat eaters, carnivores. For dinner, it was not uncommon for them to have multiple meats for dinner. But he became a vegetarian. And he was finding his identity in being a vegetarian and living a life different from his family. And he connected both his vegetarianism with the fact that he was a homosexual. And he found his identity in these two things. Now, this program that could have just been about food and talking about vegetarianism made a point to tell this story about identity, because people are looking for identity. We are driven to find our identity, to the point where we have said that gender is fluid. As I was preparing and looking this up, one website that said there were 112 different genders. Right? That was my reaction too. But our identity does not come from ourselves. Philippians 1:1-11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. As I've been reading this passage, there are a couple things that struck me. One is Paul's affection for them. Like, it just oozes with it, right? He talks about how he yearns for them, how his heart desires them. But the second thing that I noticed was that he does not question their salvation. He doesn't question who they are. In verse, where is it? Excuse me. But he talks about how I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. He knows where they stand. Later on, he compares himself with them. He says, he's talking about how he yearns for them. And then he says that it is right for me to feel this way because of, it's right for me to feel this way because we are both partakers in grace with me. You are partakers with me in grace. He knows who they are and he knows where they stand. Our identity is not our own. Our identity is not determined by how much money we make, where we work, what we do. It's determined by Christ. In Galatians 3:26 and 4:7, Paul says that we are children of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says that we are a new creation. In Ezekiel 30, it says that your stony heart is taken out and you are given a new heart. Our righteousness is no longer dependent on us. We are clothed with Christ's righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And we are no longer seen as sinful before God, but just. We are justified before God, Romans 5:1 and Galatians 2:6. And this isn't based on who we are or what we do. It's based on who Christ is and what he did for us. And though we are a new creation, though we have a new identity at the point of faith in Christ, we don't always feel that way, right? I know I don't. But it's not dependent on us. Going back to Philippians, Paul says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. Okay, so someone began it. Again, it wasn't us who began it, but the one who did begin it is also going to carry it out to completion. It's not based on us. It's based on Jesus. Now, this is the fancy word for this is sanctification. Right? Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is changing us. He is working in us. Now, there has to be some working with him. We can resist the work that he wants to do. In Philippians 2, verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So again, it's God working in us, but we have to surrender to him. We have to be a servant to him. My boys will sometimes climb up into things, and then they're stuck there, and they'll be out of my reach. I can still help them, but they need to surrender, right? I need them to jump to me to get to me. Now, I'm helping them, but there is an effort that they have to put in. It is same with us. There's an effort we have to put in. Romans 6 is a picture of sanctification. I love the book of Romans. I can't help but put in every sermon I do. And 1 through 5, Paul is making a case for salvation as of faith, not by works. And then he gets to chapter 6, and verse 1 he says, what shall we say then? If this is all faith and not of what we have, what we do, then are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So we have a role to play. Though it is our identity is from Christ, It is Christ who works in us to change us, to mold us. We still have a part to play. And you see it throughout. Paul uses the term dead to sin. But in verse 12, he says, Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. So again, you have the ability to let it reign. Right? We can either resist it or we can let it reign. 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Again, we have the ability to present our members, to let sin have a role in our lives. We are called to act, but that action is to submit to God's work, to submit to what Christ has to do to us. We have two natures at work in us. Romans 7, verse 15. I think this will be familiar. I know I've had this own inner turmoil, and Paul is obviously familiar with it. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I, but sin that dwells within me. So Paul paints this picture for us, right? We are to submit to what God is doing. We are dead to sin now, but we have two natures within us that are competing for our attention. And we need to submit to God's will. Paul's prayer for the Philippian church is that they would abound in love more and more, with knowledge and all discernment, so that they may approve what is excellent. So our identity is from Christ. And though we are a new creation, we need to submit to Christ and what he is doing in us. But then our identity is never ending. Again, going to verse 6 in Philippians 1. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So though in life we are at work, we are never completed until the end. Oftentimes we live our lives as if it's a short period of time, and we live for this short period of time, but we forget that eternity awaits us. And our identity does not end here. It goes on. At the end, verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Again, our identity is not something that's just here. It is ongoing. It is never ending. Again, I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about the summit that we just had with North Korea. and they are talking about the difference between Trump and Kim Jong-un. And the difference is that Trump has at most 8 years, and he's looking at an 8-year period of time. Kim Jong-un is looking at 50 years. So he's not looking at a short little bit of time. He's saying, how is this going to affect everything I do? Trump's looking at the same thing, but it's just a much smaller period of time. We need to live our lives realizing that everything that we do has a greater effect. It does not end here. It continues on. I was listening to Eric Metaxas' biography on Bonhoeffer. And he talks about, from a young age, Bonhoeffer was concerned about eternity. And because of that, everything Bonhoeffer did was on purpose. It had a reason. We need to live in the same way, knowing that our life does not end here. Our identity does not end here. It continues on. First Corinthians 9. Through 27. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we in an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We need to live in a way that we realize it's for eternity. Oftentimes you'll hear preachers talk about how our faith is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Now, I know I don't look it, but last year I ran a half marathon. And I'll tell you this, our faith is not a marathon. It's an ultrathon. There are people that run hundreds of miles. And it's not, you can train for a marathon and be done. But to train for an ultrathon is not a one-time thing. It is a life of training. A life of doing this thing. And if we as Christians need to live a life of faith. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to have failings, that we're going to have highs and lows, valleys and mountains. But God is using these things to shape us, to draw us closer to Him. And we need to live in a way that we show our identity in Christ. Now, when I did not have the privilege of preaching every Sunday. So during the week, I have to go to a normal job, as we call it. And I work with people that do not know Christ. And at times I am afraid to share my faith because I'm worried about the now rather than eternity. And they're living for the now and they have an identity in now and don't think that there is an eternity to worry about. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Let us do all for the sake of the gospel, knowing that our identity is not our own, that in Christ we are a new creation. Though we do not always feel it, it is Christ who is working in us. He is transforming us and conforming us to his image, not for this life, but for eternity. Let's pray. Father, you are good. And though we do not always feel like a new creation, Lord, you have made us new. Though we do not always act in a way that we should act, you have transformed us and you have saved us. So, Lord, help us to submit to you, to live for you, knowing that you are a good and gracious God, that you are loving and merciful. We thank you and praise you in your great and mighty name. Amen.